crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark, listen to the way the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Can I tell you, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, when we look back on this season in our lives, I don't think we're going to remember the little things that made life irritating. I don't think we're going to focus on the big things that made life difficult. I think we will be consumed with the one thing, with the one promise that gives us life. I read this week that more people are attending and worshiping on Easter Sunday this morning than on any other day in the history of the world. People like you and me around the world today are remembering and tending the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Our forced period of sequestration has caused us to examine our lives in ways that we otherwise would not have done so. Some people who thought life was well and comfortable and that they had all that they needed without a relationship with God are discovering there is an emptiness in them in these days. And some people are discovering that God's grace is sufficient even at home, even alone. And all of us are asking, what does this ancient event mean for my life and our world today? Our nephew, Colt Yeary, sent Missy and me a video where he walked through the Good Friday events. And at the end, he said, Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. And that's right. That is the message of Easter, that Jesus' victory over death is a victory over sin, and there is more than that. The first word of Easter is, there is no sin so bad that God can't forgive it. And Jesus came to do more than just forgive our sin, as glorious as that is. Jesus came to deliver us to life. The entire trajectory of human history changed when that stone was rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. The rest of world history bears witness to the truth of the promise of the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, we can live. The promise of the resurrection, that God is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting people's sins against them, and that because of that, sin has been defeated. Yesterday no longer defines tomorrow. Hope never dies. Grace never fails. We're going to hear today the promise of the resurrection through the lives of three early disciples, and their names are Peter, Paul, and Mary. First, let's tend that resurrection story. Mark tells it this way in the 16th chapter of his gospel and beginning in the first verse. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there with us? When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, the women were on their way to the tomb. And they asked one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and they were awestruck. And he said, fear not. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into the Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. This is the word of the Lord. The promise of Easter is, there is no rut so deep that you cannot escape it. You remember Simon Peter? Jesus named him Rock, Petros, solid. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot stand against it. See, I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. Simon Peter, who walked on the water in the storm, and then looked away from Jesus and sank under the waves. Simon Peter, who at Caesarea Philippi confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and then rebuked Jesus in the same paragraph and heard Jesus say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Simon Peter, who said to Jesus at the Last Supper, "Even if I have to die, Lord, I would never deny you." And three times before the rooster crowed, he denied that he had even met him. Peter knew his entire life was stuck in a pattern of failure. Jesus called him Petros, rock. But in his heart of hearts, he knew that he was just plain old Simon. His entire life was trapped in a rut from which he could not escape. But you know what a rut is? A rut. It's just a grave that's had both ends kicked out. And Easter is the day that we remember that Jesus kicked his way out of the grave. R.G. Lee said that in the cemetery where Lazarus was buried, Jesus was careful to call him by name. Because if he had not said, "Lazarus," but instead just said, "Come out," that the whole cemetery would have been emptied. There is a power in the resurrection that changes our lives. Think about what happened in Peter's life after the resurrection. After the resurrection, Jesus came back to the disciples who were on the Sea of Galilee. They were in a boat. He was on the shore. And John called out and said, "It's the Lord." And Simon Peter dove from the boat and swam to the shore. And Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" "Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." "Do you love me? Tend my flock." "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." And Simon Peter went out to be a shepherd. He preached the sermon that birthed the church on the day of Pentecost. He went back before that council of the Sanhedrin and he testified about the truth of the resurrection and said to them, "We must obey God and not people." Simon Peter, who expanded the doors of the church to Gentiles through Cornelius the centurion, Simon Peter, who was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to die in the way that Jesus died. There is a power in the resurrection to change your life for the rest of his life. He was Petros, the rock, because of the power of the resurrection, which means there is no habit. There is no failure. There is no addiction. There is no shortcoming in you so great that it overcomes the power of the resurrection. Indeed, the resurrection will give you power to overcome every rut in your life. There is no rut so deep that you cannot escape it. There is no pain so great that you cannot endure it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and said to them, "There was given me a messenger, a thorn in my side, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Paul never told us what that pain was, but Paul's lack of specificity has been no hindrance to interpreters through the centuries. They filled in the gap that Paul left blank for us. Some said he had migraine headaches. Did you read what happened to him in the Acts? Or it was kidney stones, which are a messenger from Satan. Or it was the teaching of false teachers that burdened him for the churches. Or it was some secret sin that he harbored that pained him every day of his life. Whatever it was painful to the point of distraction. And it was enduring again and again. Paul asked God to take it away from him. But at some point it became clear that God was not going to take it away. Is that where you are? Is there some memory that wakes you in the night, something that you did or something that was done to you that has begun to define you down in a way? Some word that someone has spoken over you that you can't hear that diminishes you? Some bad counsel that you have taken and now you're living with the pain of that? Some grief you can't get through? Some medical condition, some physical pain that follows you all through the day? Jim Dennison says, God redeems all that he allows. Part of what that means is the resurrection of Jesus will give you power to endure what God does not relieve. The way Paul said that to the church in Corinth after he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul learned to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God redeems all that he allows. If the pain will not go away, God will give you the grace to live with it. God will give you the power to endure it. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no pain so great that you can't endure it. And there is no dream so lost that you cannot recover it. The Apostle John opens his account of the resurrection this way: very early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene walked to the tomb. Mary Magdalene is an enigma to us. Mark and Luke tell us that Jesus drove out from her seven demons. That is literally the only thing we know about her. We don't know if she was tall or short, if she was young or old, if she was married or single. We don't know if she was the most attractive woman in Israel or if she had scoliosis that you couldn't believe. But people through the ages have tried to fill in the picture of this one who was so compelled by her love of Jesus that she had to go to the tomb. What Mary Magdalene knew was that life with Jesus was infinitely better than life had been on her own, and she dreamed a dream that Jesus would ever be her rabbi, her teacher. And the dream that guided her life died on the cross with Jesus. Sleepless, she rose from her mat and began walking on her way to the tomb in those dark pre-dawn hours. Dauntless, she made her way to the tomb so that she could tend the body with the same love that he had once tended her. But when she arrived at the tomb, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And a voice from an angel asked her, woman, why are you weeping? Why am I weeping? The one that I love is dead. The one who healed me is gone. The light of the world has gone dark. Why am I weeping? Do you know how that feels? When the darkness overcomes the light. When your dream for a life of love and faith has been stolen from you. Jesus asked her, woman, why are you weeping? They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where to find him. And he called her by name, Mary. And she turned, and through her tears, she saw him for the first time. Rabboni, my teacher, she said. The resurrection of Jesus means that Jesus-built dreams do not die. Do you ever wonder why Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene? She doesn't appear anyplace else in John's gospel before she's at the foot of the cross. She's a woman. She can't testify before the Sanhedrin that Jesus is the Messiah. So why did he come to her here, now? I believe that of all the people in the world, she needed him the most. And with authority over heaven and earth, and with a mandate to save everyone everywhere, no one was beyond the reach of his love and his power. Sometimes for Jesus, the needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many. That's still true today. I don't know how insignificant you feel on any given day. I don't know how far from the dream for your life that you are today, but I know this: to God, you are worth the life of his son and the time in his life every time you need him. And only Jesus can redeem you. And not only can Jesus redeem you, Jesus can redream a dream over your life. Jesus rebuilds broken dreams. There is no situation that is hopeless when we give it to Jesus. Jesus himself will come to you. Jesus will reveal himself to you and walk with you through the darkness of broken dreams and into the dawn of new creation. There is no dream so lost that you cannot reclaim it. Through the power of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, our God transforms terrible Fridays of despair into Sundays of glorious celebration. You know, one day, we're going to wake up and the headline on the news is going to be that they found a cure for COVID-19. And when that happens, there will be rejoicing around the world, and people around the world will flock to receive the cure. And on that day, no one is going to say, "Why is there only one cure? I'm going to not take that cure until I know what all of the other options are. I want to survey what they are for myself in advance." We will just give thanks that there really is a cure for what is wrong with the world. Why is it that when the pandemic is of the soul, we don't turn to the one who offers a cure for what is ailing us? For only Jesus died for our sins and for our sake, and only the resurrection of Jesus from the grave promises there is no sin so bad that God can't forgive it. There is no rut so deep that you can't escape it. There is no pain so great that you can't endure it. There is no dream so lost that you can't reclaim it. Because he lives, we can live. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.